The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Hello, listeners. It's Monday evening and I'm delighted to be here with you again because it's my pleasure. You're amazing. And I want to share with you, we have an amazing guest. He is full of energy. His name is Simone Vincenzi. And guess what? He is here with us from UK. 6 hours ahead of us, 2 a.m. over there, but he's with us. So welcome, Simone.
Thank you very much, Divya. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am incredibly well. Thank you very much. I'm excited about being on the show.
I'm excited too. See your excitement, hear your excitement, so that is awesome. I'm going to share a little bit about Simone. Simone is known as the expert strategist. He is the co-founder of GTEx, Forbes, and Huffington Post contributor, TEDx speaker, host of the podcast Explode Your Expert Business, author of 3 life-changing books. And folks, I gotta tell you, he has an amazing podcast. I had the pleasure and privilege to be on his podcast, so do check it out. Simone is passionate about turning experts into authorities using his signature Explode Your Expert Biz programs. Every year, he speaks in front of more than 5,000 business leaders, which includes sharing the stage with Les Brown, Dr. Jen DeMartini, Trent Shelton, and many more. He has also organized over 170 events, including Gary Vee speaking from York Hall Boxing Ring, and he's currently speaking in more than 200 stages every year. Following his passion for making an impact on the younger generation, he also partners with the largest organizations for youth in UK, helping them deliver more effective courses and training. Simone cannot live without 3 things: speaking, basketball, and playing his didgeridoo. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, you pronounce it correctly, Divya. Yeah. It's an Australian musical instrument, the didgeridoo. Don't know if you ever seen or heard of it.
I have, as a matter of fact, heard of it. It's almost like, you know, I've used it as an example to show it to my clients that, especially if you're writing a book and if you have different ideas, you know, it can be like didgeridoo, and then you kind of streamline it down to an outline. So yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, great.
So tell me, as we get started, let's visit your childhood, and can you share if you have any remarkable memories from your childhood that left your lifelong impact?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there are definitely few childhood memories that I hold dear. And the first one I can remember is my first day of primary school. I was 6 years old. And I remember that I was in Italy. That's where I grew up and that's where I'm from. And there was the school was at the top of this hill, and we have to go on top of the hill every day to go to school. And that was my first time. So I was really, really, really excited because it was something new and I didn't know what to expect. And I remember I went up the hill, and of course I wanted to be a big boy at the time, so I didn't want to hold my mom's hand. So my mom was walking beside me and she wanted to give me her hand, and I said, no mom, no. I'm big now, I'm grown up. I reached the top, and I looked back and I waved at my mom with a big smile. And then I went straight into school. So that actually is my first, very first childhood memory that I have. And I remember that I went into the school as well. And when we arrived in the class, there were all our teachers that was wait. They were waiting for us to welcome us. And we all had a candy on top of our desks. And I love sweets. I thought, wow, if school is like this, I love it. I am absolutely going to love it. Now, I changed my mind later on, but the first day was absolutely a remarkable day. And that's a big memory that I have with me.
Oh, that is such a lovely and beautiful memory. I love it. And this takes me back to my childhood. Especially, you know, going back to kindergarten, I went to a Catholic school, and when I found facing nuns, and I was like so curious, and sometime, I think so I was in kindergarten, and I just went under the habit, and oh my goodness, that nun was screaming bloody murder, and I was like, oh my God, what did I do? So... yes, childhood memories can be fun. And of course, you know, it was my first day and got a huge admonishment from the nun and sister, you know, we used to call them sisters, and like, you can do that. And
just, yeah. Yeah, you learn quickly what you can do, what you can do.
Yes.
You get instant feedback.
Absolutely. So I got to share, you know, while I was in college, I had several friends who came from large Italian families, and one of the things that I found is that Italians are so warm and loving. You know, I would go to their homes, and her mom, if I would not call her mama, she would get all upset, and she would give me this bear hug, and I would be sitting down and my plate would be full, and if I wouldn't eat, and she would be so upset at me, you're so skinny, you gotta put on some more weight. And you girls of today, oh my goodness, I still remember. You brought back some great memories, Simone. So that said, let's continue your journey in life, you know, as you move through. Anything else that you remember through your middle school, high school that stands out for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. So if fast forward a few years, I remember I was, and this is something that has always been part of my character. I'm fearless. I can say I'm fearless. I have very few fears, and I love to explore. I never say no to any situation. And sometimes you can imagine that got me great results, and sometimes got me into great troubles.
For sure.
I remember I was around, I think, 9 years old, and I never skateboarded before. I never used a skateboard before. And there was this friend of mine that had this skateboard. And so I decided, very smartly and very brave, I decided to go down this hill of the school that I told about before, and skate down the hill. And it was a very steep hill. So I went down, and I almost destroyed my arms going down in that way. And I think, you know, if I have to think about why I probably remember that episode, yes, it was painful, but also it taught me a big lesson that, you know, if you want something and if you want to do something, go for it. But be aware that you can get hurt. But as long as you stand up again and you do it again, and you might get hurt again, and then you do it again and you stand up again and you get hurt again. But then the more you do it, you will end up skate down that hill. And that's what I was able to do. So I think I fell down 10, 15 times before I was able to manage to go down the hill. And I think is a great example of how I love to live my life, even to these days. I don't care if I'm going to get hurt. I'll go for it. Then I'll find out. And then most of the time I'll get hurt or I'll find some disappointment. But I kind of expect it's going to be this way. And I just work up until I can move forward and I can achieve the result that I want.
Very well said. So it's amazing, you know, how you're mentioning how you were in childhood and that how you have continued to use that grit throughout your life and living that life without fear. So that said, you know, Simone, there are so many people who will not take that step or make a decision that could lead them towards hurt. As you said, there's a possibility of hurt, and yet at the same time, there's a possibility of success. So mm-hmm. if there's a barrier, what can people do to step over the barrier and step into their success?
Now, the easiest, I'll tell you the easiest thing. There are a lot of things that people do and a lot of things that I did, but the easiest is to be in an environment where everyone is taking the steps that you're afraid to make. And be in an environment where those steps are natural for the other people in that environment. Now, let's explore why. This goes down to psychology. And we are, as human being, we live in communities. We thrive in communities. And we tend to adopt and reach the same benchmark of the people that are around us. Because we still learn behaviors like we would learn as children do, right? And what do children do? They see something and they learn from what they see, because that's what becomes the norm for them. That's why I think that parents need to be extra aware of everything they do and everything they say, because the brain of a child is like a sponge. Now, the brain of an adult will have more filters. However, we still learn by observing. And I found myself that, I remember this episode, I was 21 and I just started my first business. And I was surrounded by people that were in their 30s and 40s. So 10 to 20 years, sometimes 30 years older than me. They've been in business for many years. And in my field, which is the coaching, speaking, training, having a book is really important. As you teach a lot of the time, your story is really important. It's really important to get out a book with your story and your teachings. And I was at the very beginning. I didn't even know what to write at that point. But because everyone else around me had a book, guess what? I wrote a book. I went for it. I didn't know what to write. I didn't know even the process of writing a book. I just said to myself, you know what? It's going to be a learning curve. In 30 days, I decided to write and publish my first book. In 30 days, it was going to be written and published. And I said to myself, okay, so what is the easiest way for me to write a book? Now, I thought about, well, I'm still at the very beginning. I haven't got much to share, but I loved quotes at the time. I was looking at different quotes, and I love to also elaborate on the meaning that this quote had for me. So I decided to create a book where on one page there was written a quote, and on the other page there was written what that quote meant for me. So my thinking about that quote and why I thought it was important. And I wrote the book, I put it down, and in 30 days it was written, it was published. And then within the next few weeks, I had the first box of 100 books sitting in my bedroom at the time. And, you know, I sold by now more than 2,500 copies of that book. You know, it's fascinating. If you're thinking about books, it's not a huge number, but they were mostly sold by seminars and speeches and events that I did. But if I didn't take that first step, if I didn't even start exploring it, then the book wouldn't not get done. And if I didn't go into that environment where everyone else had a book that became the norm and I felt like the outsider, and as human beings, we don't like to feel as outside. We don't like to look different from our from the people that we feel like we belong to. So I didn't want to look different. I had my book. So if I didn't join that community, I would have never got those things done. And I have many examples of some other things incredible that I did just because other people around me were doing it.
You are so right in that, Simone, because, you know, there have been studies that have been done that have shown that you are the sum total of five people that you associate with. And also think about it. So many times when we go to conferences or you're going to retreats or seminars, you get so hyped up because everybody around you is wanting to do similar things like you. They want to go after their dreams. And there is music, there is dance, there is high energy. And then that gets you going. And then when you come back to reality, that said, what happens is that your energy kind of goes down. And so almost even like a soda can that you've opened up, it fizzes and it you see the energy oozing out and then it fizzles out. So you're very, very right that, you know, surround yourself with people who are doing. And when you're in the company of people who are high achievers, you will be doing that. And of course, we have our audience sharing quite a few questions. That did you set a realistic goal? Did you finish in 30 days? How did you publish?
I can answer definitely some of these questions. The goal was realistic because I decided to make the process really simple. I said I'm not going to write a book that is going to take me 2 years to write. For example, the book that I'm publishing in the next few months, Explode Your Expert Business, which is coming out, that one, which is going to be my fifth book, it took me about 2 years to write. But it was a much longer process. I went through the process of creating a lot of intellectual properties for that book. There was a lot of research done. So that was a kind of book that was going to take me longer. The one that I decided to create, the first one, it was quotes that meant a lot to me, which I already had researched. They already had because if I found something, I saved it, something that was interesting to me. And then it was about 10, 15, 20 words about what that quote meant to me. So it was very simple. And in terms of publishing, I decided to self-publish. I went on Fiverr. I got a cover done for Fiverr for $10 of that book. And the title of the book is actually really interesting. It was called 69 Buzzing Questions to Turn Your Life Upside Down. that was the title of the book. Now, there is a reason why, other than the sexual connotation there, but there is a reason why the 69 was an important number for me, and which I explain in the book. And the reason why is that when I was at school, so in Italy, in secondary school, we have a final exam to then go to university. And to reach that final exam, the minimum vote is 60. The maximum vote is 100. And when I was at school at the time, I didn't like studying. I was very bright, but I wasn't studying at all. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, talking about you are the result of the five people you spend your time with. I wasn't spending time with the best five people that I chose. And I was in this, and my teacher said that I was going to get out with 60 just because they didn't want to see me anymore at school. They didn't want me to trouble them anymore there. But during the final exam, we had to prepare our own project. And finally, for the first time, I could do something I was passionate about instead of studying other stuff that I had to study because the teacher wanted me to study them, but I didn't find remotely interesting. And I did a thesis on the theory of relativity and how that affects our own life, how everything can change from literally one person to the other. And I put scientific studies, I put psychological study, philosophical studies. And it was literally the best thesis that was done in my class. even better than the people that were the smartest of the class. And my teachers were like, where did this come from? Like, why are you just doing this right now? So they literally bumped my vote from 60 to 69. And that's why I decided to call that book 69 Buzz in Question, because 69 for me was a number that meant finally someone recognized me for what I really am, for not just for what I've been showing up myself. And it showed me that I could give more and I could apply myself more, that I didn't have, there was no reward in being the joker of the class. And that was a big learning for me. And so I got a cover on Fiverr for $10 and then published on Amazon on Create Space. It's completely free. And then ordered my first batch of copies. It's very simple to self-publish a book right now.
It is. You're absolutely right. And Simone, you know, you wrote 5 books and I totally understand where you're coming from. Having that goal and having that process to write the book, because I finished my 16th book recently, and writing is...
Wow. I'm still impressed every time you say it. I remember you mentioned it in the interview on our show.
Oh, it's nothing, you know. It's the love of writing, as you say that. It's about taking that first step and then second step and next step and keeping on moving forward. And people wanted to know about intellectual properties, as mm-hmm. well as, like, you know, asking the question, do all books need these IPs?
That's a very good question. Now, I believe it depends by the nature of the book. Now, if you write every book you will want to secure it. So every book you want to secure your manuscript to make sure that it's not going to be copied. And the way you can guarantee that copyright is to send the manuscript, once it's printed, to yourself back in a closed envelope with a date on top. So then if someone else literally copies and pastes the book, then you can go and see, hey, this is the first ever manuscript. This is the date where it's been released and it's been written. And you can show that it's before the day of the other manuscript. So that's something that do it for every book that you're writing is an advice that I can give, even though many people will not do that. But there are some people that actually, sometimes they do, and this is really sad. So that's a great way to protect your intellectual properties. If you're not writing a fiction book, so if you're writing a book most of the time like I would write, where I'm teaching or I'm sharing some models or I'm sharing some structures that I use in my business as well, I want to protect those intellectual properties as well by having a registered mark on some of them. So for example, the logo of my company, the name of my company, that's protected. I've got a register mark on it because we are growing, we are getting more known. I don't want someone else to take it. We have the word, actually, explode your expert business. That's a register marker. It's getting actually into register mark right now. It's not yet, but as we speak, it's going to be ready in the next couple of weeks, because our podcast is called Explode Your Expert Business. Our book is called Your Expert Business. All our programs are called Explode Your Expert Business. So I want to make sure that that word, no one else can take it. Because I'm doing a lot of work to promote and market that word, and I don't want someone else reaping the benefits of it.
No, absolutely. Great advice. And folks, yes, you can send to the copyright office of your country, because I have done that, especially if you're from US. And what you can do is there is a copyright.gov, you can go to it. There are some forms, you can send it in, you can copyright the material. And also, as far as what trademarking is concerned, in what Simone is mentioning is, or is like registered, it would be trademarked in US. So yes, if you are really concerned about your business name or the title, or it could be anything, you can get it trademarked. But what I would recommend is definitely get an attorney to make sure that the way you're proceeding is correctly, because there are some literary attorneys who can help you out. And if you are interested in doing that, please feel free to contact me on my email address, and I'm happy to connect you with a couple of attorneys that I know. And they're very reasonable. They get the stuff done for you, and you don't have to worry about if whether you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's. And now that said, let me ask you, Simone, about your catering interest. Can you share?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. That was my very first job. I started as a waiter. I think it's a very stereotypical, right? Italian waiter.
I did not know that.
It's very stereotypical. A lot of Italian people, they start because of this. Food is so important in our culture. They will start working in a restaurant as chef or maybe as waiters. I didn't like going into the kitchen. I tried that, but I didn't really enjoy it. What I loved instead was going out there and talking to people. And I remember I found this job as a waiter when I was 15, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I went to my mom when I was 15 and I said, "Mom, I'm going to quit school. I'm going to work in a restaurant." Now, as you can imagine, my mom, she wasn't that impressed. So she said, no, you keep going to school and then we'll take care of it. But I loved working in a restaurant so much that I worked in a restaurant. I was going to school every day, but I was going every evening and every weekend. I was working in restaurants, and I was always asking around. I was asking around the other waiters. I was asking around the manager, how could I improve? How could I become better? How they were doing what they were doing? Because I've already imagined a career for myself. That led me at the age of 19 to become the youngest Michelin star restaurant manager in Europe. So at the age of 19, I was already managing my first Michelin star restaurant. And serving celebrities, going around, being around like great food, great wine. It was a great experience that made me grow very fast. In particular, because I had a lot of people around me that seen my passion, seen my drive, seen my determination. They were willing to help me out. They were making all the introductions that I needed in order to get to where I wanted. And that's how I arrived in the UK. Someone saw me at a restaurant while I was serving and then said, "I have a Michelin star restaurant in London. Do you want to come and work for me?" I said, "Well, tell me more." And it was a better pay. I had more holidays, and it was a new adventure. So I said yes. And 2 weeks, I left my current job. And I flew to the UK, even if I barely could speak English. That was when I was 21, which was 9 years ago. I'm 30, right? Still 29, 13 few months. But when I was 21, that was my new adventure. So I said, yes, I'm going. I've got nothing to lose. Worst case scenario, I can go back to Italy. And that's how I ended up in that Michelin star restaurant. And I think what I've learned from that experience, there are three main lessons that I always apply in my business, and I always make sure that my clients understand. Number one is be driven. Find something that you're passionate about and be driven. Work your ass off to make things happen. Become the best you can be. Then second, make sure that you find someone that can open doors for you. Because you can be the brightest, the most clever, the most gifted and talented, but if you don't have opportunities, all these talents, gifts will be wasted. So work in meeting the key people that can open doors and can see the talent that you have. And then the third one, even if it scares you, say yes, because you never know where that yes is going to lead you.
Like that. That is amazing.
Thank you.
Mm. Lovely. So, yes, I like the three steps, right? Pursue your dream, connect with the right people, and say yes. Because when we don't say yes, that's when the things start happening. So, definitely. So tell me, you know, as you were in the catering industry and from catering industry, how did you transition into coaching and speaking industry?
Yeah, that was a big jump. That was one of my probably best decision that I've ever made and most stupid decision that I've ever made. So let's explore why. I decided when I was 22, I got bored. That's why I decided to leave the catering industry. I reached what I could reach. There were, unless I was going to become an area manager for a large company or a large company of restaurants, I had reached the peak of my career at 22. And so I'm the kind of person who never stops. And I was saying, okay, so what's next? I cannot be doing this for the rest of my life. Like, I need to grow. I need to experience something new. And so at that point, I started attending a lot of seminars because I wasn't sure what was my next step. At the end of the day, I didn't have a degree because I as soon as I finished secondary school, I started university, but my work and my career was picking up so fast that I decided to prioritize the catering industry compared to university. Also, I was studying philosophy at university, so I wouldn't have had a great career anyway in terms of open opportunities of work. And I was earning already more than my university professor were earning when I was 19. So it wasn't really appealing for me as a career. So I decided to stop, and at 22, I attended a lot of seminars, and one day, I was sitting there in the audience, in the first row. I was always attending seminars, sitting there in the first row. And something clicked. I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be on stage. I love this. Like, what a better job than talking from a seminar stage. And I always loved being in the center of your attention. So that's why I was like, yeah, that's so me. And also I love helping people. And then the next question was, but what the heck do I talk about? I'm 22. Who the heck is going to listen to me? So I learned that there was an entire industry that was called coaching. And that started becoming interesting. So I enrolled in a coaching course. I spent all my savings enrolling on a coaching course and to become a life coach and youth coach. And I started immediately with youth coaching, with young people, because not a lot of adults wanted to be coached by a 21-year-old or 22-year-old, to be honest. So it was very difficult to get clients at the time. And also, everything was new for me. I never ran a business before. It was a complete new industry. I knew very well how to navigate the catering industry, but running a coaching business? Oh my God, completely different. And so I had to learn all the basic codes of business, sales, marketing, product creation, leadership, team management, outsourcing. And on top of that, I had to learn actually the skill that I needed to get paid for because at the moment I was just the very beginning. So it took me about 2.5 years. Arrived in the age of like 24, almost 25, before I could make and sustain myself from my own company. For this period, I was learning, constantly investing in myself, attending a lot of business seminars, and working as a youth coach for a lot of UK organizations where we're doing seminars and group workshop for young people. And so that has been my transition. And the reason why right now what I do is to help other experts and other coaches and other speakers to become authorities in their field, because that has been my journey. I literally started from unknown. No one knew me. After all I spent in my courses, I had £100 in my bank account, literally starting from scratch to build a multi-six-figure business. And now this year, we are forecasted to get very close to the seven figures. And they've been featuring in major publications, major in podcasts, radio interviews. And so that's why I do what I do, because there were a lot of things I didn't know about this industry. And I think that everything happens for a reason. And we go through a challenge and then we can pay it forward and teach other people to make their life easier.
Absolutely. It's always like this, right? You always go and connect with people who are where you want to be. And when you get the coaching from them, they can cut short your journey from where you are and where you want to be. Similarly, now you are in a position to teach others. So definitely that makes sense. And we have a couple of questions that are coming in. Before we go to that, I would like to ask you, you have mentioned to me that, you know, House of Parliament nominated you and you recognized you as most influential migrant and entrepreneur in London. How did that come about?
that was unexpected, definitely unexpected. And that was also one of the moments, you know, sometimes, Divya, you work so hard.
Right.
You work really hard and you have some small wins. But then sometimes you have a big win and you say to yourself, yeah, this is really what I've been working for. And that for me was one of those moments.
Mm.
Putting all this work over all these years, starting from literally my average work day was and still is most of the time around 12 to 14 hours. At that time when I was starting, I was even working sometimes 18 hours a day to build my business or to study, to make it happen. I literally neglected all my personal life. And when that happened, I said yes. All those 5 years, actually were 6 years at that time, that I put behind building my company, behind building myself, behind building my personal brand and my programs and working with thousands of people and facing situation that a lot of people would just run away from instead of facing them, that was worth it. And I think this is like this for everyone. Be expected. If you want to become really successful, and I'm not saying by any means that I'm successful in what I do, because based on my idea of success, I'm very far from it. But if you want to be successful in anything, and that's a big lesson that I've learned, is put the work in and expect a mediocre result for a period of time, or maybe no results, or maybe expect almost nothing happening. And then you will have the small win, then you will have another small win, and then someday you will have a huge win. Like for me was being in the House of Parliament. So when I received that nomination, it was a validation to keep going in the direction I was going, and that it was the right path for me.
Absolutely. And congratulations on getting recognized as the most influential entrepreneur in UK. That is very prestigious, very impressive.
Thank you.
So kudos to you on your hard work. And also, you know, a few things that have come up is like some great questions. So one of the questions is, how can we make sure we are making right choices in life?
next question.
No,
I'm joking. I have an answer for this. First of all, is there such a thing as a right choice in life? That's where I would love to steer the conversation. I think in life there are choices. And up until we have an outcome, we don't know if that choice is the right choice or the wrong choice. It would be great to have that power of clairvoyancy and see, yes, this is definitely the right choice for me. Because sometimes, and I found it a lot of times in my experience and talking with a lot of successful people as well, they make a decision and it looks like it's the wrong decision after a while. But then in the long term, it becomes the right decision. Because then there were some doors or some other things that were going to be open that led them to even greater success and led me even to greater success than even if I had to take the decision that I thought it was the right decision to make. So that's something to preframe the dilemma of right or wrong decision. Is there such a thing as right or wrong decision? Mm-hmm. But there is something that I do on an ongoing basis to check if a decision is in alignment with what I'm looking for. I believe in the power of focus, and I believe in the power of values. Now, if you don't know what values are, check it out. It's a very powerful work that you can do for yourself to understand what really drives you. So the values are subconscious drivers. Is what makes you make a decision without you even being in control of it. It's what happens at the subconscious level that drives you to make a decision. And if you know your values, then you know what decision you can make in alignment with who you are, with yourself. So I know, for example, that my top three values are growth, are community, and then is action taking. These are the top three values. So when I, and in fact, my company is called Growing Together Exponentially, right? I literally gave, when we sat down with my business partner, we gave our company the name compared to the values that we had in common, the biggest values we had in common. So every time I make a decision, I'm checking in with myself. Is this helping? Will this help me grow? Will this help me expand the community that I have, or get into a community situation? Because that's what I love. And then is this going to help me get great results and taking a lot of action? On top of the honesty, integrity, which I think a lot of people have, which I have too, but these for me are the most important thing. And then once I do that, and I, first of all, I check that they are in alignment with my values, I check if they are in alignment with the goals I'm focusing on at the moment. Because there are things that can look like opportunities, but actually in reality, they are distractions. So if my goal at the moment is to publish my fifth book, and I'm having something that takes my focus away completely from that, or will take time away, I will say no, unless it's the opportunity of a lifetime. If that's the opportunity of a lifetime, I can say yes, I can post my book because this is more important. But 99.9% of the time, I will say, no, I'm focusing right now on this thing because that's what I want to get completed. And that's what I do to make sure that I make what I think is the right decision.
Oh, that's lovely, because when you talk about values, you know, that's so close to my heart. I always say that, how do you know if you're making the right decision? So to add, to piggyback to what you were saying, Simone, is the decision has to be in alignment with your values. Also, does that allow you to be your true authentic self? If your decision is taking you towards away from your true self, where you cannot be yourself and you're being someone that you're not, then that also tells you whether it's the right decision or not the right decision. And Simone, I know you have some really good programs, and you were mentioning that you might have a program for our listeners today. Would you like to share about that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for asking, Divya. I believe that the number one thing that helped me out in my life and in my business in particular is the ability to sell. Is the ability to sell my product, is the ability to sell myself, is the ability to sell what I believe in. And I think that we are in sales every single day, even if we know it or not. I mean, having a conversation with my wife is a sale. And most of the time, actually, she closes me, she wins. But that's another, she's definitely better than me at sales, but in this scenario. But jokes on the side, we are always selling. We are always selling an idea. We are always selling a concept. And in particular, if you want to start your own business or you want to advance it in your career, the ability that you have to sell yourself will determine the results that you will get in your life. I'm a big believer on that. And I made more than 7 figures in sales since I started a business. And that ability was able also to give me a lifestyle that I would never imagine before. Not just being able to help my clients, and because by signing up and becoming clients, I was really able to help them, so making a positive impact in the world, but also having a lifestyle that I would have not imagined before. And that's why I wanted you to have a piece of that. I wanted you to learn how you can sell your product, your services effectively. And I put together all my experience in this program, which is called the Sales Mastery. And we had hundreds of people going through that program. We had the raving reviews. We normally sell it for $500, but because you're here tonight with this interview, you're going to get it only for $7.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And folks, I have put that in the chat box so you can take a look at the link. So please go and check it out. I'm sure you are going to benefit. Yes, it is $7. You are absolutely right.
It is absolutely $7. I wanted to give you a gift, guys. You've been here listening to the interview, so I think you deserve it. And also, it's a great way to start a relationship and working together. So if I can help you in some small ways, that's definitely the starting point.
Absolutely. So, Simone, you know, we're nearing to the end of the conversation. Can you share if our folks want to reach you? How could they reach you?
Thank you very much. Well, there are two places where you can find me. Number one is my podcast, which is Explode Your Expert Biz Show. So let me repeat it again. Explode Your Expert Biz Show. One more time so you remember it. Explode Your Expert Biz Show. And you can actually, if you check and write also Divya Parekh in our search bar, then you can listen to the interview that we did with amazing Divya. Was published recently. It was an amazing interview. So make sure you check it out on success and writing books. We had a few questions about writing books as well. So check out that interview. And also, you can find me on my website, which is gtex.org.uk. So, gtex.org.uk. And you can see all the podcasts, a lot of content, and our programs as well there.
Thank you so much, Simone, you know, for your generosity. And the same comments are coming from our listeners. And listeners, you're amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you.
Always encourages our guests as well. So they are saying, Simone, to you, you're amazing. So very nice of you.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for all your questions. You've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you for spending the time with us.
Yes, they are a fantastic, fantastic audience. And listeners, reach out to me. You know, what are the stories I can bring so it makes your life easier and it makes you successful. So, Simone, thank you again so much for your kind words for myself, for my audience. And it was such a joy and pleasure having you.
Thank you, Divya.
Thank you and take care.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.